in evening, so the last one was here. This week's gone very quickly. I would say, probably mixed feelings for the people about this, and mixed feelings for the campus, which the campus does want us to continue. How many of you have one of our hearts? One of you. Anyway, been a good week. Most of the workers probably want to go home. I'd say they've had a very big week and invested a lot of their time and effort into running this youth camp, and I'm sure there'll be a reward in heaven for those who've done it just for love for the Lord Jesus. Sometimes you don't see rewards in this life, but thank God he's keeping a record. Everything that's done for him will not be missed in heaven. Everything's going to be accounted for. I'd like to try and, I suppose, close out tonight. I think tomorrow we have something, a session, it's all done, we're planning, and we're going to talk about it, and we're going to talk about it probably over tonight, see what the Lord has to do. But tonight is a very important opportunity. I don't want to labour that point, but I do want to say that this is the last opportunity at this camp, most probably, unless you did something tomorrow, with God spoken your heart and you're serious about it. I'm not saying you may not have opportunity in the future, but this is the best opportunity you have. Without doubt. You'll never have an opportunity like this again. Don't waste an opportunity. I want to read, though, we finished in Hebrews chapter 11. But I do want to read some verses for us, so if you could turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 3. I want to read single verses. Now, forgive me for perhaps not reading it in the full context. Okay, I'm sure that if we were to take the time and read the context of each passage, we could perhaps find a slightly different interpretation. I'm just looking to try and make some application about something which I believe is very important in the journey that you're going to have as you walk with the Lord. Alright, so please, don't be critical of my statement before I start, because when you see where we go, I think you'll understand why I've done so. But I'm going to just warn you of that. But in Exodus chapter 3, and I want to read for us just a single verse. Before we do that, we will pray and ask the Lord to help us, because we need a lot of help with getting through tonight. In Exodus chapter 3, there, I'll read that verse shortly, but let's just ask the Lord to Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the safety you've granted to us. We thank you for the blessings of the camp, and we would ask for more. We are more greedy when it comes to blessings. But Lord, not for our sake, but for your sake. We want to be able to magnify you. We want to be able to glorify you and lift up the Lord Jesus tonight. And Father, we believe that you are glorified when we bear fruit. I pray that this night there will be fruit for eternity so that our Lord Jesus would be glorified. Father, I pray as we look at the thought tonight and then move on to some practical application of it, I pray help us to see the necessity of this in every individual's life. This is absolutely necessary in the day that we live in, every day that has been lived for Christians to do so. So we ask you to help, we ask the Holy Spirit. Work in hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus 3. Let me read a verse, and then we're going to skip through. And I'd like to read for us 5 verses from 5 chapters. And we're going to look at this, the word for me. Exodus 3 verse 5 says, and he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Exodus chapter 4. We'll skip that one. Look, I'm reading that one. Let's go to Exodus chapter 7. Come down to 4 verses, so be patient. Exodus chapter 7. And verse 15. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning, lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come, and the rod which was turned where serpents shalt thou take in thine hand. In Exodus chapter 8, in Exodus, and chapter 8, verse 20, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh, lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, and in verse number 13. Exodus 14, verse 13, the Bible says, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today, for the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse number 30. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30, the Bible says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. This evening I want to just briefly talk about a very important issue that I see in our society, I see in our churches, I see our young people, and that is around this word stand. Stand. We are living in a day and age where it's not popular to stand for anything. As soon as you have an opinion, you are immediately shot down for that opinion. And I'm just talking about in a worldly sense. Now there's a lot of debate at the moment going on in Canberra, or there has been, about a referendum and other things that are taking place. And for anybody to stand for any common sense and reason, they are absolutely vilified and destroyed. Just to stand it. Now I'm not here to be political, I'm just here to make a point. The reality is though, as you look across society, as soon as an individual who has any guts about them, and has any manliness, or is a strong woman even, and has a matter of opinion which is important, and is about the moral fiber of the nation, as soon as they would whisper, they're immediately shot down, and labelled with all manner of labels for what they are, so called. We are in desperate need of men and women who are prepared to stand. You know, the Bible says about Moses, no way out of the only counts, but on many occasions it says he stood. He was standing. And standing gives us that impression that he knew what he was talking about. He knew what he was about to do. He was committed in that act. When someone rises from their feet to stand, it's with intent. There's a reason for standing. There's a reason for sitting. It means you're at ease. It means you're relaxing. It means you're comfortable. It means you're taking time out. But we need God to raise up a generation of young people who are prepared to stand with some intent and some endeavor and some conviction and something of a belief in it that says there's going to be something done for God in this place. You know, one of the reasons why we have the Word of God in the English language is because there were men of God who were prepared to stand and say, enough's enough, we need the Word of God in the English language. There are men who have gone to the stake and have been burned to death because they were prepared to stand. And you and I probably don't think about it, and and you and I don't appreciate it, but the pages of the books of the Bible are stained with the blood of martyrs who've been prepared to speak. We're living in a nation of ease and comfort, and we just don't want to break out of that. We're all sitting back, we're all relaxed, we're all comfortable, but there's few things that want to stand. Preachers are scared to stand. I was talking to a preacher recently, and he's broken away from the Pentecostal movement. And I said to him, what was the process? And he said, well, I was in Bible college, and they taught us certain things, but he said at the end of it, there were several serious situations that they refused to tell us on an objective way in what the Bible was saying. They present us with scripture, they present us with both sides and say, draw your own conclusions. And some of those were around creation and around same-sex marriage. This individual, when he went to try and get his position of a pastor in the church, those men said to him, sorry, we cannot recommend you. And the reason being is because he had beliefs that were objective and definite based on the word of God. That's a disgrace. When you can't get a man with enough guts to give a man who wants to preach the word an opportunity to do something. Because he has a biblical opinion. That is the state of some of the churches in Australia, my friend. They're cowards. They refuse to stand by the word of God. They would rather stick with the friends of the world than stand in the people of God. Moses, when he left those in Egypt, he stood up and said, it's time to move out. And there's a lot of Christians I'm sitting trying to hear about who want to sit with the world and get all the benefits of the world without asking God's blessing. It will not happen.
Amen.
It's serious business. And I pray God that in this group of young people, there'll be those who'll be man enough and woman enough to see that last day of the Lord is good enough back then, it's good enough then. I want to stand. Don't want to have convictions. Sure enough, debate politics all day long. They'll be the winners of every football code in Australia. And they're prepared to stand in some stinking pack of supporters who are all sweating hot-blooded and never believe they can win. But when it comes to the word of God, they'll carry the moment, they'll sit with the world, they do not care about the word of God. And they're Christians who fall in that category. They're more concerned about their football team getting up on the weekend than they are about their preacher getting up and preaching thus saith the Lord. It's about time we had some people in the pews who started cheering when the preacher came up the pulpit and less cheering when their team won the grand final. They've got the wrong heroes. They're looking to the world's heroes. We should be looking at men of faith. We should be looking at men of conviction. And I'm not talking about glorifying men. I'm talking about glorifying God. And when a man of God gets up and preaches the word of God, that's something you're going to think slightly about.
Amen.
Men of conviction. Men of passion. Men who don't care what other people think. You say, I don't care what my friends think. That's why you're not standing. I care what these people say. That's why you're not standing. When I hear what my boss says, that's why you're not in church. When I hear what they say, anybody else says, but no one seems to care what God says. And God says, if you want to live with me, you need no one else to stand. It can get very lonely. But stand you must. The day and age in which we're living requires men of character, men of conviction, men of courage, men who say, thus saith the Lord, and I'm prepared to stand for it.
Amen.
You know, sometimes it's costly. Sometimes it's not popular. But that's not why we do it. We do it for the honor of God. We do it because we love our Lord Jesus Christ. We do it because we care about those around us. We do it because we want to see lost people get saved. You know, when people don't stand for the word of God and what the word of God has to say, lost people don't give two hoots about what Christians do. You know the only thing that changes lost people's lives out there? It's people who are whole with God, and God's not whole with them, of ignorant people. People who have some conviction, people who will stand. Young men, I encourage you, you need to learn what it is to stand. Have some courage. Young women, young ladies, you need to have courage to stand. When that boy who's so interested in you, he thinks you're the greatest person in the world, he sends you things and he calls you things and all those things, and he doesn't live with God, he doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ, you stand your ground and say, you walk somewhere else, I'm not going with you. He's not worth it. He'll be standing, but maybe up to you and saying, well, I'm the best choice for you. You need me, I'm the best one in your life. You say, well, but I'm with Jesus, you're not with me. They say, this is the first part of the message. Second part of the message. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 says, wherefore we labour, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. There is one day when you will stand, whether you like it or not. You have to stand. I'm thinking of a courtroom. I'm thinking of a court setting. We have the judge. We have the defendant. We have the various personnel that have been in the courtroom, and when those words are said, all rise, all stand. Mm-hmm. And the Bible is very clear about this truth in many places. Do you know every single believer, every single person who's saved is going to stand before the Lord Jesus? And I'll stand there in judgment. We don't like to talk about judgment. We don't like to hear about judgment because that sound of judgment sends shivers up the spine. Now, I've never been to court, but I've spoken to those who've been to court, and from what I understand, when a person has to stand before the judge and hear the sentence read out, it's a very sobering time in life. And I'm talking about just the misdemeanors, not the serious offences. When you consider the judgment seat of Christ, where every believer is one day going to stand before you, that will lead to a whole new level. And the Bible says that we must appear. There's no getting out of it, it's unavoidable. You won't have that day adjourned. You won't be able to find me sick. You won't be able to say, look, I've got a busy schedule, I can't make it. No, we must all appear. It's unavoidable. There's no getting out of it. And not only is it unavoidable, it's very personal. It's very personal. Every single person will give account for himself, for themselves. First and foremost. Now, I understand there are other aspects to the judgment, where your fathers will give account for their children, where husbands will give account for their wives, where pastors will give account for their flocks. I'm not talking about that just now. That's an old other aspect of judgment. But this aspect, where every individual believer will one day stand before God, would have to be, in my estimation, the most fearful thought for any believer. I have pondered the judgment many times. And I have pondered it at times to the point where I think to myself, how will I stand? How will I stand? How can I stand? How can I give an answer? When the one whom I stand before knows all things. When the one before whom I stand is the one who died for me. When the one before whom I stand is just and holy and righteous. And I'm not standing there to see whether I enter heaven, but I will be standing there to see if my work, my journey in this life was worth anything. Notice some things in this passage that we will give account for, that you will give account for. You will give account according to that you have done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. My friend, you are not just going to talk about the good things about yourself. The bad things will be brought up as well. Everything that you've done, think about your life. Let's just for a moment, let's just pretend we can't do this and I wouldn't want to do this. It would destroy you, it would destroy all of us if we could see this. But could you imagine just for a moment, if we were all set up nice and straight and we would pay attention to what's taking place, and there's a screen just here to my left, and on that screen I have the capability of plugging some sort of device in you which will transmit onto the screen your entire thought process for this day. And we saw it in pictures. Could you imagine that? Where I was able to watch, and we were all able to watch unfold before us all of the thoughts of your mind for this day. Could you imagine how you feel? Do you think you might be slightly embarrassed by some of the things we'd see today? Imagine if every, it could take some time, imagine if everybody, every young man, every young lady had their life protracted onto that screen. And we watched it as each young person, as each leader, as each older person, one by one, by one, by one, and we were able to watch the entire scene as though we saw it through their pores. Wow. I don't know about you, but I would be embarrassed about something. And I'm not saying that so we all feel good about it, so I'm not saying that so we all be ashamed about it. Every thought, every deed, every act. You say, do you think that's going to happen? I actually do. You say, could you prove that in Scripture? Well, let's have a look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3, chapter 4, verse 3, it says this, but with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Okay? I judge not by myself. Paul said this. He said, if you judge me, or someone else judges me, it doesn't really concern me that much. He said, I don't even judge myself. I haven't got time to do that. It's not the highest priority at this point. I'm just trying to live my life so that I might please my Lord. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I only hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Now notice verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. I don't know how he's going to do it, but That projector, I believe, is going to be in heaven. You say, why do you think that? Well, let's look at some of the language. Who both will bring to light the hidden things. Who are they hidden from? Are they hidden to God? No. Are they hidden to me? No. Who are they hidden to? Others. That's where they're hidden from. You and I can hide things from other people. We're very good at it. We spend our lives hiding things. Well, the Bible says, Paul says this, I don't judge myself, I don't care too much if other people judge me, but I'm very concerned because one day the hidden things and the deep things, the counsels of the heart, the very motives why you did things, will be shown to all. And then shall every man have praise of God. Praise of men is hollow. Praise of God is a wonderful thing. That's what we do it for. But can you imagine in your mind's eye if you were here, if you were there? What would it be like? Standing before a holy God, the Lord Jesus, and all of your life somehow is going to be able to show up. And then we'll find out what really happened. Is it any wonder that John said in 1 John chapter 2, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Why would you do that? Why would you go to the trouble of our minds and our motives? You say, well, actions, obviously, because everybody sees them. Yes, but the reason why is because God's going to reveal it. He's going to show everything. And the opportunities that you had in camp to make decisions for the Lord, and you say, well, I'm not interested in doing that for the Lord, everybody's going to see that one day. Everybody's going to find out one day. I'm not saying that to threaten you, I'm just saying that's what's going to happen. That's what the Bible says. Then, on that day, then we'll all be revealed. On that day. A Christian, you say, I want to say, I can live like I want. You certainly can. But you're going to give an account for it. You say, I want to say, I'm going to heaven, so it doesn't really matter. Yes, it does matter. Because everybody's going to find out how you live. And you can do what you want in your mind and in secret and by yourself and with your friends and not everybody needs to know. But my friend, I beg you, consider one day all will be revealed. There'll be no defense. Why? Because God knows all things. Because God sees all things. And because God recalls all things. Everything is recorded. Revelation chapter 20, there is another day. There is another day, this is a more serious day here. The most serious day in all of history is this day. And my friend, I trust that you won't be there on this day. I don't want you to be this place. This is not some place that we joke, smile. I think it's funny. This is a very serious day. In verse 11, it says in Revelation 20, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the death were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were written in death, and hell delivered up the dead which were in death. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If you stand on this day, there's no hope. If you are found standing at the great white throne, you're awaiting sentence in the devil's hell for all of eternity. And I beg you, please, don't go to this day and have to stand. You will be judged for all of eternity and will be in torment. It will be in separation. It will be in suffering all of eternity. Standing is very important. Where you stand is very important. How you stand is very important. How is it with you, young person? Where do you stand in life? Where do you stand? Are you like Moses who stood with the people of God? He said, I want to stand with God's people. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be a hard road. But I'll stand with them. He had everything he could possibly desire, and yet he turned his back on that and said, I'd rather stand with God's people. You need to not just decide to stand, but you need to forsake some things so you can keep standing. And keep standing. And keep standing until Lord takes you home. Or we go to be with the Lord. Never say. And then maybe a young person tonight, you haven't yet said, well, I'm prepared to stand on the Lord's side, I'm not saved. My friend, please, please, this is the most serious decision right now to have in your life. You better consider. Do not accept Jesus as your own personal Savior. You will stand by that. But it will not be before the Lord as your Savior. You will stand in judgment for all of your life. Where do you stand? Where do you stand? Which day will you stand at? How's that day going to be for you? May God help us. If you haven't made some decision this week, I encourage you strongly to make a decision tonight. Say, Lord, you've spoken to me. I'm standing with the wrong crowd. I need to stand with some others that want to live for God. Maybe that you as a young person say, I'm heading the wrong direction. I want to start standing with God's people. I want God to say to me, can I stand before him on that road? I'm going to put faith in you. You've got a heart to do it. You're stupid. And maybe if you're not saved, and you know it, I encourage you tonight, place your stand before Jesus and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Give me sin. Well, every head's bowed, please, every eye closed, please, don't look around. Friend, where do you stand? Maybe there's some adults here tonight, this is a new camp. Adults, challenged by some thoughts. Where do you stand? Do you stand in your family? Do you stand as a husband, as a father? Do you stand in the church? If you stand for God's word, well, if you stand with your kids, and you show them what living in old world means. The young people here, are you standing with your stand like that? Leave you on ground. Use it. What is it going to lead you? Where do you think it's going to head? What challenges? Come on, please. No one looking up. No one looking down. But if you would say, Richard, I haven't been standing like I should, but I promise it. And I want to challenge you, please, stand where you are and then sit back there. So that's hard. I know it is. Standing's always been hard. But there's nothing like standing before Jesus. Listen. Anyone else who says, I want to stand? Yes. This one is a standing. Anybody else? Yes? See some more standing. Some young men, young ladies. Anybody else is not a stand for the Lord? Bless you. Anybody else? So God spoke to me over these last few days, and I don't know what it's going to take to do it, but I'm willing to stand for him. I'll look different from anybody else. But I'll let the Lord look at me when I stand in front of him and say, well done. Well done. Is there anybody else? Yes? Thank you. Anyone else? Maybe there's someone here tonight who've mentioned this a couple of times. But you're not saved. You're not saved. I encourage you, this will be most probably the hardest thing of your life to this point. But if you're not saved and you know it inside, that if you were to die right now, you would stand before the Lord on judgment day, and he would say to you, depart from me for all of eternity. They are not the words you want to hear. Because it's too late. It cannot be reversed. And tonight he would say, look, I'm going to stand, and by standing I'm saying, I want to be saved, I want to talk to somebody else. You can sit down as soon as you stood. But if you would indicate, yes, I'm going to stand, I'm going to sit back down, and I'm going to keep talking to someone about my eternal soul. Is there someone tonight who would say, I'm going to stand, just stand where you are, and then sit back down? Is there anyone? Don't be shy, don't be embarrassed. This is between you and the Lord. Everybody else has their eyes closed and head bowed, except myself. I'm all for you. Is there anyone? Just stand where you are, and sit back down. If you want, anybody know? I'm going to stand. Standing doesn't save you, but it shows that you're willing and that you want to. Anybody know? This is the last opportunity you have. No more care. No more opportunity. Would you regret this night because you didn't stand? Father, I thank you for those who stood and want to stand. Father, we give you the praise and glory. We give them the desire and goodness. Father, I know that the world and the devil are going to hurl every single evil thing against you. The devil hates when Christians stand. Father, greater is he who is in us than he is in the world. We can stand on the word of God, we can stand in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you help all of us to be willing to live out on a day-to-day basis. One day we will give an account of whether we stood. And maybe someone tonight is struggling with salvation and trouble. Want to make a decision, but they're not sure perhaps how or what it's going to take. Well, maybe they'd be willing to just to talk to someone and sit down and go through the scriptures so they can know how they want to be saved. And Father, we give you all the thanks and praise for what we've done and what we will do. In Jesus' name, amen.